Thank you for downloading Producer's Pick from Sounds True, a podcast dedicated to bringing you compelling, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, the producers at Sounds True have chosen a selection from a program that they've worked on that caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, What Are Our Emotions?, comes from the audio program, The One Thing Holding You Back, Unleashing the Power of Emotional Connection. Here's what Randy Rourke, a producer at Sounds True, had to say about this week's producer's pick.
Imagine that for just the length of this introduction, about a minute, that you could be truly and totally yourself. Completely in touch with your body and its physical sensations. Aware of who you are and your connection to all of your surroundings. Conscious of the wisdom of each of your emotions as they rise and fall. Well, why isn't this our natural experience all of the time? According to Raphael Kushner, the problem is ourselves. We suppress our emotions, especially the more difficult ones, and miss out on what they're trying to tell us. We're out of touch with our bodies and out of sync with our environment, while the full experience of being alive slowly slips away from us. In The One Thing Holding You Back, Raphael Kushner leads us through a series of practices and exercises designed to teach us how to embrace our emotions fully, even the most difficult ones, and experience the inner peace, the renewed energy and creativity, and the more satisfying relationships we all long for, which are all as close as we are, right this minute, to our full emotional life. In this excerpt, he explains what our emotions are and what they have to teach us.
You can download the entire program, The One Thing Holding You Back, at SoundsTrue.com. And now, our producer's pick. What Are Our Emotions? With Raphael Kushner.
Emotions arise to convey information. They are a response to the changing states of our internal and external environment. They're part of the overall process that helps us understand our world and ourselves. The feedback that emotions provide can be correct or incorrect, or some combination of the two. Take, for example, somebody who grew up in a war zone. Well, in later years, they may overreact to loud sounds. On the other hand, if someone grew up in a gated community, they might not be as fearful as maybe they need to be if they would hear a loud sound. The range and intensity of emotions that we experience is influenced not just by our past, but also by culture, personality, and even physiology. Emotions, therefore, aren't ever entirely right or wrong, good or bad, reliable or fallible. Instead, their arising presents raw, unprocessed information. Most emotions take shape like this, in a self-generating way, whether we want their input or whether we approve of what they have to tell us. It's important to recognize that some personal feedback can only come to us through emotions. To illustrate this, I want to share with you a story about a client of mine named Vivian. She always wanted to be a singer, and it was her dream in college. She was sure she was going to pursue it. But then came marriage, and then came kids. And there was always some reason, some activity, some excuse, as she called it, not to start putting herself out there and doing the things that she needed to do to be able to sing. So she had diagnosed her problem as procrastination. When we started working together, however, I assisted Vivian in tuning into her feelings about so many years, decades even, of not singing publicly. She felt anger She felt disappointment. And at first, she just identified those feelings as being about her procrastination. But as she stayed connected to the feelings, another deeper insight dawned. She recognized in that moment something she'd never allowed herself to really see before. She had a mediocre voice. That was the reason, for all these years, that she hadn't put herself out there. Now, you may be thinking, everybody knows what kind of voice they have, but there's a hallmark of emotional resistance, and it creates gigantic blind spots. Maybe everyone else can see it, but the person in resistance can't see it at all. Suddenly, because she received the feedback her emotions provided for her long enough to get the deepest insight, Vivian now had a choice. She could decide never to sing again because she was mediocre, or she could decide to sing because she loved it. And that's what she decided to do. And because she was no longer in resistance to the mediocrity, she also got a vocal coach to help her really see for the first time what were her best strengths and what were her weaknesses vocally. And this coach helped her choose a repertoire that accentuated her strengths. Within a year, Vivian was doing open mics. She was even putting together a set, beginning to contact local nightclubs and hotels for chances to sing because it was the thing that made her happiest. She wouldn't have been able to reach that point if she was unable or unwilling to release her resistance to the emotions connected to singing and then gain the insight that only her emotions could provide. This blind spot that Vivian possessed, and that I mentioned we all can possess, it happens for us in part because our society is engaging in an ongoing campaign against our emotional connection. Think for a moment of the seven deadly sins. Five of them, pride, envy, lust, anger, and greed, actually are emotions. You might think, as you hear that, well, wait a minute. Our society is filled with all kinds of excess emotion, extremes of violence, extremes of romance and sexuality. I mean, look at our mass media and how it's teeming with emotional expression. In that regard, we need to make a really important distinction. Acting out an emotion is not the same as feeling an emotion directly. In fact, when we learn to feel an emotion directly, we no longer have to act it out. We have choice. We have the freedom I mentioned earlier. And that's what allows us to soar. And then, with the feedback provided by the emotions, and with our ability to really receive that feedback and consider it, we're able to make the best possible choices in every situation. There's one truth about emotions that's been implicit in everything I've shared with you so far. But now, let's make it clear. Emotions are physical. The only place that an emotion ever arises or departs is your body. So in order to be emotionally connected, you have to, as some people say, take the elevator downstairs and it can be unfamiliar territory for many of us. If you're like me, you may have spent most of your life living mostly in your head. That's why we began with exercises that brought you into your body, that gave you an opportunity to see what was there without trying to understand it or change it. And as we continue, we're going to be mostly body-focused because, as I say, that is where emotions live.